25 years ago, National Turnaround expert Jim McTavia became concerned that the debt was not only crushing many American companies, it was crushing America as well. So he wrote a book called Bankrupt, A Society Living in the Future, and hand-delivered a copy to every congressman, senator in the White House. Hear it back from only one congressman from Florida and from Vice President Al Gore. He followed that with another excellent book called Culture of Debt, in which he argued that the financial crisis of 2008 had proved his point. Now there's a new book on a quite different topic, one many of us will face, and one for which there's no roadmap. One-Eyed Kings, Lessons Learned from an Incurable Disease. He joins us in the studio today. Jim, thanks for making the trip from Port Huron on a rainy day.
You're very welcome. It is a pleasure to be here. It's good to be with you again. It's been some time.
It has been some time. I've gotten a lot older and you've stayed the same, so I don't know quite how that works, but
One of the things that's obviously happened to you besides getting old is your eyesight has gone bad too.
So. Well, see, it all grows at once. Let's talk about One-Eyed Kings at first. It's a departure from your usual book, and I found it sort of eye-opening. You know, Jack Kevorkian, the assisted suicide doctor, once he was on a stand in a trial, and one of the opposing lawyers said, "Isn't it true that all your clients were disabled?" And he said, "If we live long enough, all of us will be disabled, and all of us will have an incurable disease." Whatever you think about Kevorkian, it's hard to refute that statement.
He's spot on.
That's right.
Spot on.
And so tell us, if you would, a little bit about your journey and how you found out about this. And your disease is not one that everybody's heard of.
No, it's very rare. It's an unusual and untreatable disease, incurable, whatever word you want to describe to say that it's something that it's a problem. And I mean, my life has been spent working with people in the most serious problem of their life, with the exception of the loss of a loved one. Psychologists will tell you that people that are facing financial adversity have got the greatest and the highest stress levels of any human ailment that is faced. And I have been, I believe, privileged to work with people in that part of their life, dealing with major, major reorganizations in companies and individuals, John DeLorean, Chatham Supermarkets, some of the more home name Kmart, and I can go on and on and on, of the Saab cars in North America just recently, a few years ago. These are institutions that have hundreds and thousands of people whose lives and whose families are affected
right.
When facing financial adversity. When I stood on the floor of Chatham Supermarkets where hundreds of people were there, I didn't just see the hundreds of people. I saw their spouses and their children. So my career has been privileged to work with those people. I have had 9 suicides in my career, 9 people who were not able to face financial adversity. And so over the course of time, I've developed a good relationship and a good reputation with professionals and psychologists and doctors. And I am, and I was, and I still am, regarded as a problem solver. Hmm. So the question is, how does a problem solver react when he's told he has a problem that he cannot solve? And not only can he not solve it, that there is nobody in the world that can solve it?
I think as Americans, we're conditioned to believe there's a solution somewhere that someone...
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's how we think.
No question about it at all. Now, I doctored for a number of years because it developed the one-stop shop program years and years ago. This will be my 44th consecutive year of the going to Mayo Clinic for my annual 3-day check the gas tank inspection. In 2013, I compared, I went there complaining of a problem with my index finger. And as my book relates, the medical institution kicked into gear. And before I left at the end of 3 days, somebody that is very well credentialed, a lot smarter than me, told me that his opinion was that I had a rare, incurable muscular disease called inclusion body myositis. I looked at the guy, I leaned over to see if he'd been drinking, mm-hmm. and it hit me like a ton of bricks.
Right.
And
you thought something was wrong with your finger. And you
yeah, exactly right. As the book relates, I went to tell Mayo I had a touch of arthritis, and I came back that you got a disease that it's not going to kill you, but what's going to happen to you will. 5 weeks ago, I had my second broken leg. Mm. I can't tell you. I've had one before. I can't control my body. I can't control my muscles.
Did you have a muscle spasm that led to?
No, there's no spasm. There's nothing. It just collapsed in the middle of the street. They said, we can't tell you for sure, though. Come back for a biopsy. So I said, well, like my clients, I'm going to kick this can down the road and right. avoid facing it as long as I can.
Sure.
So when I stumbled over the next year and everything, I finally decided I better get my butt in there and get a biopsy, and I did. And it was confirmed that I had this rare incurable disease. And
IBM for short.
Yes, IBM, intercontinental ballistic missile or inclusion body myositis. It's very rare, as I say. So anyway, one thing led to another. I tried to confront it. I tried to... As you notice, I'm not wearing a tie and a shirt anymore. Last time, I can't button. But it's interesting. I wear casual clothes, and my clients are still willing to pay for my advice.
Right.
So it's not the image; it's what's in the mind, and my mind is still good.
Right.
So what did I do to confront this problem? I went to did some research. I went to the only myositis center in the world at Johns Hopkins, and I went there so that they could tell me that everything that Mayo had told me about Jim McTavia and his disease was wrong.
Oh.
That's what I went for. I went there. I went to the only myositis center in the world.
You wanted a second opinion.
I guess so. I wanted a good opinion. So anyway, I went there, and I learned that that's really what I had.
So what do you do? Is it hereditary?
It is not.
Okay. So your children don't have to worry about it?
Will not. There are two kinds. Sporadic inclusion myositis is sporadic. And then there is the inclusion body myositis that is inherited. And there are people suffering from that.
But fortunately for your family, you don't have that.
I do not have that.
This was just some odd mutation that happened in you.
Well, as the story will unfold, as I just recently learned, one of the things that happened in my book will relate it. When I went to Mayo for the first time, I was a physical wreck. I was overweight. I was smoking. I mean, I wasn't sleeping. I couldn't breathe. That's how I got to Mayo.
You're eating wrong food.
Oh, my goodness gracious. I was eating all the right foods, but the wrong nourishment.
I see.
So bottom line is when I found out that I was, as my book relates, I went to Mayo and they told me to shape up or I'll be dead pretty soon. I listened to them and they put me on some medication 40-some years ago. As it turns out, my cholesterol was out of whack and they put me on a statin. And as it turns out, I have been on statins. I was on statins for 40 years until an event happened, which my book will relate. And a pulmonologist said, you got to get off statins. They're the leading cause of muscle problems. And I know there are listeners that are doctors and that are pharmacists that will poo-poo the fact that statins cause this or that. But it's very interesting that is what I was told. And less than 30 days ago, the New England Journal of Medicine reported, hear this now, that statins have a direct link to inclusion body myositis.
Oh, my gosh.
I was right.
We're talking with author Jim McTavia, who got some notoriety for writing books about our debt problem in this country. He has a new book out called One-Eyed Kings about his struggle with a rare autoimmune disease. I want to take a call from Charles, who I think has personal knowledge of this. Charles, good morning. Welcome to the program. Did you have a question, Jack, or for Mr. McTavia?
Well, my son-in-law has body inclusion myositis. He's had it for, they diagnosed him about 10 years ago. And he is just going downhill so rapidly. Mm. It's terrible. He's now wheelchair bound, has a very hard time eating. And he's, matter of fact, today he's back at the hospital he's been on a style of chemotherapy. I don't know if that's what you were on, but it's a terrible disease. And I appreciate you coming on and talking about it because it's been a very difficult journey.
I understand. When I went to John Hopkins, I saw people that were in significantly worse shape than I was in. And I looked up to that power that, call him whoever you want, God, or I looked at the power and I thanked him and I said, you know, I am in my 80s. These people are in their 40s and their 50s. Yes, the drug that I was recommended and that I tried is a very powerful cancer drug called methotrexate. It killed me almost. Put me in a hospital, as the book will relate, for 3 weeks. I lost my immune capacity, and I can tell you other things that happened. But the fact of the matter is, isn't it interesting that the singular smallest ingredient in a man's body, the cell, is so susceptible to medications? And we are all, for the most part, on medications on one way or another.
Right.
But I can tell you that I urge him to read the book because there's a message there. And the message and my decision was, I have been focusing on helping people with financial problems. I figured out how to beat IBM, not get rid of it, but how to live with it. And that's the message that I'm passing in to everybody, not only with IBM, but with any problem that they're facing in life.
Now, Jim McTavia, your book is called One-Eyed King's Lessons I Learned from an Incurable Disease. Is it available on Amazon? Is it in bookstores?
It is available on Amazon. It's also available on what's called the Seattle Book Company. The easiest way to get it is to go on my website, McTaviaLLC.com, and you'll see all three books there that can be ordered. They're very reasonable. There's $15 a piece, but I urge you to pass this on because I figured out a way to live the rest of my life with this incurable disease, and the message is singular, and that is, all of us are one-eyed kings. All of us have problems.
Right.
I don't care what it is. And
this
book sends a message that why don't we focus on the wonderful things we have in our life and keep our mind off of the cross we have to bear. I'm no Holy Joe, but I can tell you when I decided to do that and think about my family and my kids and grandkids and all of the wonderful people that have come into my life, all of a sudden, IBM became a irritant, as my great editor Tom Ferguson said.
And you weren't going to let it get you down.
Absolutely not.
I want to thank you for bringing this to our attention. I appreciate it very much.
Charles, thank you. Good luck with your son-in-law.
Thank you.
How frequent, Jim McTavia, is IBM? How many people in this country have it?
About 20,000, I think that's what it is throughout the nation. Most of them don't know. There are people that have it that don't know that they have it.
Right.
Because it's so rare, it's not easily diagnosed. As a matter of fact, my granddaughter, one of my granddaughters, is a neurologist at Beaumont. And a very smart lady, you know. And she was unfamiliar with the disease. So it is a neurological disease that is so rare that very few neurologists are familiar with it.
So it's probably misdiagnosed in a lot of cases.
No question about it.
Well, what was your secret when you really had to face it, what year did you find out you had this?
Well, I faced it when the neurologist at Mayo Clinic says, you know, what we thought you had a year ago, you really do have, and this is what's going to happen to you. And you can try methotrexate and see, sometimes that's helped and so on and so forth.
Is this in the 1970s?
This was just 4 or 5 years ago.
Oh, okay.
It was 2014. 2015, I got the biopsy. 2016, I was falling all over the place. Mm. 2016, I went to John Hopkins. And John Hopkins said, you know, thank God you didn't get this until you get into your 80s. There are people that are in the 30s and 40s that have to live with this and will end up, as your caller just said, in a wheelchair, totally incapacitated.
Do you have any idea how long you'll still be able to drive?
I don't. Every day that goes by, I believe, is a gift. I'm still busy, as I mentioned. I sit on a number of boards of directors. I try to keep myself active. My family is more concerned about my family, and my associates are more concerned about me than I am, because they've known I've fallen a couple of times, broken some legs and things like that. I am not as concerned about me as the other people are. I don't know how long I'm going to be able to do this, but I can tell you my goal in life is to get my message out to people who are facing adversity in anything, okay? Sickness, financial, death, that you are truly one-eyed kings. I don't know if you're interested in where the title of the book came from.
That was my next question.
My next question, right. Beat you to the punch. So when I got back from John Hopkins, after them telling me that there's nothing that they couldn't wave the magic wand, I was relaxing and I dialed into a podcast that I've come to listen to from a priest that is giving sermons in a community called St. Louis Obispo. His name is Father Matt Pennington, and I related it to him in the book. And he was relating about the fact that he had a problem with his eye, and his eye needed surgery, and the problem was with the eye is that there was a cancerous growth in the cheek right underneath it, and the doctor said, there's a good chance, you know, you're going to lose that eye, and of course the priest went ballistic, and that's all he could think of. Oh, I'm going to lose the eye, and he made himself miserable. He made his family miserable. He made everybody he spoke to miserable, worrying about losing an eye. Right. And ultimately, a parishioner said to him, well, Father, that's terrible, but if you lose the eye, you have another one.
That's true. We got to come take a break. We'll be back with author Jim McTavia after this.
Democracy is coming to the USA.
Welcome back to Superstation 910 AM. I'm Jack Lessenberry. We're here for the next few minutes with author Jim McTavia, who I know is an author of two very compelling books about America's debt crisis, and is back with a third book called One-Eyed Kings, about his own struggle with an incurable disease. Is IBM a form of diseases like Lou Gehrig's disease or Huntington's that eventually kill you?
No. This is a disease that will not kill you. You will die from the attributes of the disease. Most people have a form of this disease where they have a trouble following. A lot of people do, but you become incapacitated. You know, the whole body is a muscle,
right?
Which means your lungs, okay, your bowels, everything, okay. And when your muscles begin to give out, your body begins to shut down.
Right.
So
right.
The disease itself, if you were to look at a death certificate, they would not say they died from IBM. They died from muscular strangulation or whatever it is,
right.
Whatever it was.
And there's no medication that can prolong.
No, but I can tell you what I am doing, and I started doing it, as the book relates. I am getting acupuncture about 3 times a week, and I have for the last 3 years now.
How does that help?
Don't know. All I know is that when I started getting acupuncture treatments, I stopped falling regularly, and I only fall like every now and then.
Wow.
There is no treatment, and Johns Hopkins, as I say, is the leading myositis center, and the doctor that wrote the afterword is the co-director of the Johns Hopkins Myositis Center. He thought the book had such a significant and powerful message that he was willing to do the afterword.
That's good. Doctors aren't usually willing to take time.
They are not willing to take time. They're not willing to. But he felt that the message was very important. And and finishing up on the One-Eyed King is the parishioner said to the priest, "You still have one eye, and in the land of the blind, the one-eyed man is king."
One-eyed man is king.
And that's what it's all about.
Sure. Now you are. You are, have always been a hard-charging guy. You're not a type B personality. And so how do you cope? I think this is the thing that I'm wondering about. How do you cope when they say, "I'm sorry, you can't fix this. You can't make it go away. You can't come up with a financial plan to get rid of IBM." How did you get your head screwed around to deal with that?
I love Joel Walsh and the Eagles.
Yep.
He's got a great song.
Mm-hmm.
Live one day at a time.
One day at a time.
Live one day at a time.
Right.
I finally got help from someone higher than me. We don't know who that is. Maybe
right.
You're a higher force. I don't know. But I finally got help from someone higher than me, and that's what the book's all about. You know, I used to think I controlled my life. I used to think that I was in charge.
Right.
And this disease has taught me that I'm not in charge. And if your listeners will reflect on every single adversity that they face, divorce, cancer, death, everything, any adversity, they aren't in charge.
Right.
They are not in charge. And so I decided that I was going to focus more on the benefit of having one eye in the land of the blind. In other words, I got a lot of things to be thankful for.
And you just never know. I mean, the odds are, here we are, two old guys, and the odds are that there's going to be some 22-year-old driving around there, his whole life ahead of him, and he's going to rack up his car tonight and have one too many drinks, and we'll still be here in the morning, and he won't. I don't say that to be morbid. I'm just saying that to say you just never know.
You never know.
You never know. Want to take a quick call from Jerry. Jerry, do you have a question for Mr. McTavia?
Yes, please. Mr. Jack Lestenberry, thank you for taking my call. And to your guest, I want to say, sir, it was a very interesting story, what you say, and we are proud of you, and we love you as a human being, and be proud who you are. Sir, my question is, my brother suffers from dementia, and I do believe you mentioned something about dementia. In the last 5 years, he got dementia, and it run in my family. My grandmother in the 60s, she died from Alzheimer's. My father in 1993 died from Alzheimer's. Now my brother, he is suffering from dementia, which probably is a beginning of Alzheimer's. My question to you, sir, is the person will be responsible for his act? He's in a nursing home. Just a couple of days ago, my brother, he left his room, and he went and in a proper, he touched another female resident with him. Now they are a threat to kick him out of there, the nursing home administration, and they report him to the police. I would love your answer. Do they have the right that take him accountable?
Okay, well, Jerry, thanks for your call, but I'm not quite sure that that's within. Do you have any idea?
I can only tell you what I would do if I were in your position, and that is I would engage the services of an attorney that specializes in that area.
Exactly.
I would. That's your best move.
Exactly, and you could probably make the argument that maybe the nursing home should have exercised more supervision, but I don't know about that. But
the Detroit Bar and the Commercial Law League has a association where you can get this advice without cost. It's pro bono. They do pro bono work.
I'm glad you reminded us of
yes.
that. Jim McTavia, I'm looking forward to finishing your book. I find it compelling. Any last comments, any last advice you'd like to give our listeners?
Yes. Whenever you're facing adversity in your life, do a Joe Walsh. Okay?
That's right.
Take it one day at a time.
One day at a time. And, it's always, we look at the lives of famous people. It's sometimes darkest before the dawn.
Amen.
Jim McTavia, I selfishly hope you write more books. Thanks for coming out and being with us today.
Thank you. It's been an honor.
This is Jack Lestenberry. I'll be back in just a moment and with our next guest. And, Jim, thank you very much.